Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can.
Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Conversations with David Icke. And I have David on the phone. And today we're going to give you a lot of hope and a lot of direction. How's that for a change? So let me say good morning to David. Good morning, David.
Morning, Maria.
Well, David, I have to tell you, this morning my email and my social media was all excited. People sending me stuff about you finally, as part of your worldwide wake-up tour, getting approved to be in Canada. And I can tell you that our fans in Canada are super excited.
Well, yeah, well, so am I. About the whole tour, really. It's a mega operation going out of London in June. And in fact, starting just down the road from me here in a little theatre on the Isle of Wight. And then going to Australia, to Perth, to Sydney, to Brisbane, to Melbourne in July, or in August to Auckland in New Zealand. Then across to America in September, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, on the 10th, the 17th, the 24th, and then all over Europe until Christmas. And then early 2017, it picks up in Manchester, big event in Manchester in the north of England. Then I go to Dublin in Ireland. And now, thanks to getting the visa through today, we're going to be looking to be in Canada early in 2017, in Vancouver and Toronto for sure, and we hope Calgary as well. excuse me. Interestingly, it will be the first time that I've spoken in Canada since 2002, because they haven't let me since then. I used to get massive support in Vancouver, even all that time ago. It was incredible. And lots of opposition, too, from people who I hope now will be severely embarrassed about what they said in relation to what's happened since in the world. But it's a sign of the times, really. You know, we're really starting to make progress. And, you know, I've always loved coming to Canada, and I've missed going. But we're back.
That's great. Well, you know, before we get into a lot of spiritual stuff that you have in The Phantom Self, which is why I recommend this book even more than all your other books. Not only do you give the world situation, but the solutions are in there. And, you know, David, for a long time, I've been saying the only ticket out of here is a spiritual one. And I think that The Phantom Self covers that so beautifully. But just want to spend a few minutes, because I really wanted your opinion on how crazy does the American election look to people across the pond?
Well, it is crazy, but it's just a different kind of crazy to when Bush came in and when Obama came in. You know, we've had some T-shirts made which have a half a picture of Trump and half a picture of Hillary Clinton, and underneath, "This choice is no choice." But the situation is, from where I'm looking at it, is that we talked there about spiritual solutions. There are no political solutions within the system as it stands, because it's too stitched up. You have, for instance, Hillary Clinton losing state after state to Bernie Sanders, but getting more and more delegates. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. And what has happened is, over the last 10, 15 years, people have become more and more aware, more people have become aware, that it's a one-party system. And people have started to realize that it doesn't matter who you vote for, as the saying goes, the government still gets in. So what they've had to do in more recent times, especially post-Bush, is to keep people's interest in the system, in the process, and keep people focused on it and interested in it and engaged with it by putting people forward to keep the interest going. So, for instance, after Bush, you had the first black president in Barack Obama. Here you go, it's the first black president. It's historic. Okay, so that kind of engages you. And, of course, he went all over the United States and everywhere else in his first election campaign saying, change, 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 I stand for change. And, of course, when you then look at the last 8 years, he has just continued the basic themes and the direction of Bush before him, and he's changed nothing, it's just moved on. So now we have a circus, a puppet show, where the first, potentially first woman president, oh yeah, it's the first woman president, it's historic, and here we go again, is played off against this independent apparent maverick, when actually both are controlled by the same force, and whichever got into power, the same things would happen. And what this is doing, it's holding attention, it's holding people engaged in the process, so that they don't get into their peripheral vision. We can get into that when we get into the spiritual side of this. They get into their peripheral vision, where they can actually see how the dots connect and actually see that it's all a load of nonsense. When you get focused on something, you can't see the nonsense in the same way, because you're only you're concentrating on a dot instead of seeing the dots connect. And the idea is to hold people's attention in the system, in the process, until they reach the point where they can remove the process all along and come out with a fully fledged, no one's hiding, one party state, which is what the plan is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it has at least welcomed people up to the fact that our elections have been stolen forever. When you look at the anger of the American voter, unfortunately, we're also seeing the ugliest side of Americans in this election as well.
Well, what you're seeing is a classic divide and rule. You know, when I see Trump supporters and Sanders supporters or whatever group it is, arguing with each other and fighting with each other and cursing each other, what they're doing is focusing on, again, the process, the dot, their man or their woman, and they're not in their peripheral vision symbolically looking up and seeing a pair of hands holding two lots of strings, which connect with both them and the people they are cussing and fighting and arguing with on, quote, the other side. There are no sides. There is only the illusion of it to keep people in a state of not seeing what's going on, but also in a state of divide and rule. Which is the foundation of any situation where the few are controlling the many. And what will happen is, and it's already happened, of course, is that all these things that Trump is saying he'll do this, he'll do that, which is attracting quite a following in the so-called alternative media, and I'm not shocked, but I am very saddened that a lot of people in the alternative media have bought the nonsense when they've been saying for years that it's all nonsense. Well, it is all nonsense, and it's all nonsense, including Trump, not excluding him. And what he says, and then what he does, and indeed what he says, and then what he says a little bit further down the road, are not the same thing. And it's the same with Clinton. I mean, both of them will take us into a war. Clinton will absolutely take us into a war. That's what the people behind her are aiming towards, World War III, and she'll be there doing the things necessary to make it happen for those in the shadows. We now have a situation where massive donors to both of them are mega Zionists who their focus is not even the United States, it's Israel, and so You know, you look on that level, it doesn't matter which of the two gets in, Israel, it will be Israel right or wrong with both of them. So it's the illusion of choice, and we have to have the illusion of choice. Otherwise, we'd realize we have no choice, and then we might actually say, hey, we're not having this anymore. So the illusion of democracy, choice, freedom have to be constantly sold. You know, when I first came to America a long time ago, and I kept hearing this line, America's the freest country in the world and all that stuff, I thought, why do you have to keep saying it? Should be obvious by what happens, but they have to keep telling you to hide the fact that it's not.
Right, exactly, which of course fits in perfectly with your description of the inverted world that we live in. And, you know, I've been remembering a lot of the things that you have in this book and using a lot of them. And, you know, the very fact that we truly are ruled by a death cult here.
Yes. When you look at the world, it is largely an inversion. And in terms of the system and those that direct it, it is completely an inversion. We have people called doctors who are supposed to make people well, and the mainstream medicine is among the biggest killers of Americans that there are, along with cancer and heart disease. If you put all the figures together, including those they try to hide, then the treatment will be in its different ways, will be the biggest cause of death in America.
Actually, right now, David, that it is listed as number three cause of death in America.
Yeah, well, you put the other figures together, which I've talked about in the books, that they keep off the books, and you'll see it far outstrips the other two. We're supposed to have a situation where you have democracy and freedom in politics, but you have a one-party state. We're supposed to have scientists that explore the nature of reality purely to find out the nature of reality, when actually all they're doing is singing from a song sheet that keeps us from an understanding, or keeps the people in general from an understanding of the nature of reality. Wherever you look, you have journalism, the mainstream media, that's supposed to inform us about what's going on in the world, and actually they inform us about what's not going on and why it's going on, because their job is not to inform, as we're told, it's to act as a propaganda arm of this whole system. So wherever you look, it's an inversion. And there's a reason for this. You look at the way the environment's being destroyed, the way animal species are disappearing, all the extraordinary levels of technologically generated radiation now in the atmosphere. And all the radiation in the ocean now, not least thanks to Fukushima. And you are looking at, in everywhere you look, you're looking at this death cult. Everything's about death and not life. And interestingly, the word evil is the word live written backwards. Again, an inversion of life. And when you kind of get deep into this, really, really deep in the rabbit hole, as I do in Phantom Self, and will do in the all day events. You find that ultimately behind that, right in the deep in the rabbit hole where it's all coming from, is a shall we say a deeply distorted, therefore evil, as we would perceive it, awareness, which is itself an inversion. It's an inversion of life. It's a distortion of life. And so as it plays itself out through the system and through those that administer and direct the system, it plays out that inversion. So wherever you're looking at an inversion of life. This is why, and it feeds, this awareness feeds off that energy, that frequency of death, of fear, of anxiety, all these things. And therefore, Satanists who are in the end worshipping this awareness in different forms, in the forms of gods and entities, they are obsessed with death. This is why you have satanic rituals in churchyards and human sacrifice and all that stuff. It's all focused on death because it is expressing and worshipping this distorted awareness, which is itself an inversion. And this is why the answers are spiritual, because in the end, the answers are frequency. What has happened is the human perception has been so manipulated, so pulled into the five senses, so pulled into the frequency of fear and anxiety and conflict and anger and all these things, depression, resentment, all these low vibrational emotions, and in their own way distorted emotions, and that has pulled the human race into the frequency of that awareness, that distortion, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the answer to free ourselves from its influence, I call it in Phantom Self like a computer virus that infects people's perceptions, infects people's emotions, affects people's thoughts. The answer is to withdraw from that bond with that distortion and become again about life, not death. And that means getting out of this obsession with five sense reality to the exclusion of all else. Because what this manipulation has done is focus people's attention in the five senses. And as I said a few minutes ago, this means that people lose the peripheral vision. They can see the pixels, they can't see pictures. They can see dots, they can't see pictures. And there was a video on YouTube, whether it's still there, or on the internet, where it starts with basketball players bouncing a ball around, and the words come up and basically say, count how many times the ball is passed. And that's what people do. And then at the end, some more words come up and they say, did you see the gorilla? And most people don't. And then what they do is play the video back. And right in the middle of while the people were watching the ball being passed, someone in a gorilla costume walked into the middle of the shot, looked around, and walked off. And most people don't see it because their focus is so much on the ball that they don't see everything else that's going on in the picture. And that's very, very symbolic of what happens when we get pulled into five sense reality. We are so focused on the dot of the five senses, we lose peripheral vision. And so there are so many benefits and so many foundation things that happen when people start to change their point of self-identity. So they stop self-identifying with being their name, their race, their color, their religion, their country or whatever, and realize that that's not who we are. There are experiences that who we are, pure awareness, the state of being aware, is having.
Right.
And so you are in this world, but not of it in terms of your point of observing the world. So you can see and enjoy and experience the five senses and the experiences of the five senses, but your point of self-identity is not that is you, it's that is you having an experience. And
Right. Well,
when we fall for what I call label consciousness, I am a, whatever it is, that's when our perceptions and focus get pulled into little me, into phantom self. And at that point, you can see virtually nothing. But when you withdraw from that by rejecting the programming, rejecting the perception programming, by re-identifying with another level of you, the awareness that is you, the eternal awareness that is you, suddenly your point of attention expands. And as it expands, dots start to connect, because from that point of observation, you can see how they connect. That changes everything. It changes your own self-power, if you like, to direct your own life. And it massively affects your ability to see things you couldn't see before. And crucially, as you expand your awareness into a self-identity of I am infinite awareness having an experience, then your frequency starts to rise. And as that happens, as you start beating to this different drum, this quickening, you are withdrawing from the frequency of this distortion, and it more and more ceases to influence your perceptions and your emotions. So what would have terrified you in five sense mode, it doesn't affect you in expanded awareness mode, because you know that whatever you're dealing with, it's only an experience, and it's not you, and it's only temporary, whatever it is.
Right. Well, I love the way you wrote in the book that your experience is as David Icke. You kind of separate yourself from your label, your name. And I paused in the book and I said, okay, if I thought about my life, because this is how I interpret it, and I'm assuming that's how you intended the reader to interpret it. If I look at my life as I am just having an experience as Maria Heller, not Maria Heller, it makes life a lot easier to handle, to realize this is just the vehicle you picked to be in this experience.
I mean, you see, you look at people who are born into a Muslim family, and they're almost certainly going to turn out to be Muslims. You look at people born into a Jewish family, and they're almost certainly going to follow Judaism. And same with a deep South Christian family, etc. And so what happens is, when our awareness begins to experience what people call an incarnation, I think there's more to it than that, but anyway, that'll do. You then go through this programming, this perception programming, and you take on a perception of reality, and it's normally a dot. I have this phrase, my dot is the only dot. And so a Muslim dot will see the world from the Muslim dot perspective, and will be able to be divided and ruled with the Jewish dot or the Christian dot, and so on. But when you expand your awareness beyond the dot, and you realize whatever you're experiencing, whatever you've been told you are, is only an experience, it's only a label, then you may not be a Muslim, but just because someone's a Muslim, you don't have a problem with them. Martin Luther King said, it's not the color of the skin, it's the strength of the character. So you don't judge people by their labels, because you are not a label. You can see it's all labels, and so you're not coming from your label point of view and judging a different label, because you're above all that. You can see it's all labels. Oh, you're a Muslim. Ah, nice to meet you. I don't agree what you believe, but anyway, all the best, as long as you don't force on anyone else. Oh, you're a Jewish guy. Okay, nice to meet you. I don't agree with what you think and believe, but anyway, never mind. Let's have a cup of tea. As long as you don't force it on anyone else, and so on. And we can live the label without all this madness and chaos and conflict, if we come from the point of understanding that the label is a label, it's an experience, it's not who we are. And the infinite awareness that I am is the infinite awareness that you are, the infinite awareness that a Muslim is and a Jewish guy is and a Christian is and all the rest of it. And from this point of view, We can live together without fighting together, without seeking to impose our belief upon someone else because of some arrogant idea that because you believe something, everyone else must also believe it. And I don't self-identify with David Icke. I don't. I self-identify with being infinite awareness, having an experience called David Icke. And it is a very different way of living your life because you're looking at things from a completely different perspective. And what would affect you as a David Icke mode person don't affect you when you are in this other self-identity. I am awareness having that experience. The experience becomes much more easy to come through, much easier to cope with, and you're much quicker to get from it what you need and move on.
Absolutely. You know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, Jesus' words in the Bible that a lot of people follow, or at least say they believe. I don't see too much evidence of them following it, where he says, be in this world, but not part of it.
Yeah, because this is why this reevaluation of self-identity is crucial. I mean, it's not only crucial; it's the answer. Because if you get pulled into the five senses, then you perceive that if you can't see it, touch it, taste it, etc., then it can't exist. Then you have only one area to look in and to explore, even if you choose to do that, to get a fix on who you are, where you are, and the reality you're experiencing. And that's out into the five sense world, or what we perceive to be out into it. And that information that comes back from the education system, comes back from the mainstream media, comes back from scientists, comes back from doctors, etc., politicians. And that's controlled by this network. So that's how the programming works. And if you don't have other levels of yourself beyond the program, beyond the five senses that are filtering that information and looking at it from another angle, then all you're doing from cradle to grave is downloading your perceptions from the system, which has in its gun sights the ambition of total control of your thoughts and sense of reality. And if you look through history, Maria, and cultural history around the world, you find that it's the visionaries, as they are called, who could see beyond the physical and perceive beyond the physical, who could move their point of observation beyond the physical, or what we perceive to be physical, that were considered to be the most dangerous people to authority. Because authority doesn't want people to think out of the box, because authority gets its power from people being in the box. And it's still today, those who are able to look at things from another angle, a deeper level of consciousness, are considered the most dangerous of all, because what they offer is another explanation for what's going on in the world, another explanation for reality itself, another explanation for life itself, who we are itself. And that challenges the manufactured consensus of all these things, which basically says that, you know, we have no power, we're just little me. From a scientific point of view, if you can call it science, we are born, go through a cycle and then die, and then that's the end of it. The consciousness is in the brain and all that stuff. We therefore are going to get nowhere, either in seeing what's really going on, seeing the answers to what's going on, and getting a fix on the world we live in, the reality we're experiencing, and the what we really are. It's not going to happen. So the awakening is the awakening from the program. It's not about seeking enlightenment. This is a big myth. We are enlightened. We are infinite awareness having an experience. What we need to do is not find enlightenment and find what we already are. It's removing the levels of programming and perception programming inflicted from the moment we entered the world that acts like a firewall between the five sense self, phantom self, and infinite true awareness self. That's what we need to do. And to do that, people need to get a blank sheet of paper in their mind or literally and say, okay, what goes on here now in terms of what I believe about anything is going to be from my own experience, my own feelings, what adds up to me, what makes sense to me, and not any longer what the system in its various forms has told me to believe about the world, world events and me. That's going. I'm starting again. And when you question these basic foundation perception beliefs that humanity is asked to believe in, it's a joke. It's a joke. None of them stand up. Exactly. They stand up in people's minds only through sheer constant repetition of the same thing being repeated. And you hear it something enough times, and basically you've downloaded it. Now it's your reality. But if people just stop and say, hold on a second, I'm going to reevaluate everything, not this or that, everything. And what now enters my sense of reality is going to be filtered by me. I'm going to decide what it is on my terms, and the system is going to have to justify itself to me with anything it wants me to believe, because I'm going to question everything. Everything changes when you start to do that, and absolutely, suddenly you see one thing you've been told and you've believed in turns out to be an absolute nonsense, and that's the waters breaking then.
Oh, absolutely.
So the next question is, what else? What else?
Right.
And then you're off.
And then you find it was all lies. It was all just mind programming.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is what so many people are going through. A long time ago in what was it, 1991, when I saw a psychic and consciously really started to move on this. It started in 1990, not 91. The psychic and one or two others are around the same time. Because I was bumping into a lot of psychic people in those days when I was just going through my own initial awakening. I was getting the same stuff from them as I met them, and they weren't connected. It's in different countries, a number of them.
Right.
One of the themes was something that I'd called Truth Vibrations. It was the name of the first book I ever wrote after I got hit by this, and it came out in 1991. And I gave the name Truth Vibrations to what I was told was coming. And that is, or was, a vibrational change that was going to awaken humanity from its coma, from its slumber. And the most awake would be affected first. And then eventually, at that time, solid gold asleep were going to start to be affected. And it was going to be like an alarm clock, like an energetic alarm clock that was going to, and of course, all these years later, I can see exactly how it works. It's an information source, yes. It's a consciousness, energetically, but it's also a vibrational means to break up the density. To break up the density of five sense focus. And of course, what was it, 25, 26 years ago when I was told that and wrote that book, there was no sign of any of that at all. But when I look today, and one of the reasons I'm going out on this world tour is because I'm seeing very, very rapidly increasing numbers of people who are starting to wake up to the fact that the world and in many cases life is not what they thought it was, and they're trying to get a fix on it. And you know, I've been studying this for 26 years and I can give people a fix on it in a day.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm doing it. But when I look at the numbers, Maria, and that not only that, the kind of people that are waking up now and starting to reevaluate everything, it does fit remarkably well with that truth vibration phenomenon that I was told about all those years ago.
And that's excellent. David, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, I'd like to talk a little about the difference between our energetic selves and our holographic selves. So stay with us. Dave and I will be right back.
Spiritual Professor is a name some of Maria's students and clients refer to her as. After a consultation or class with Maria, some have gone as far as calling her the Force or the Oracle. Maria is simply a woman, a mother, and grandmother who was born with a keen natural intuition. She's got a lot of life experience and she's a constant student herself. This is what qualifies her to help those who are on their journey and need some direction. Some students visit her in person, others on the phone or on Skype. Maria will work with you on your own timeline, guiding you down your best possible path. You can learn to balance the mind, body, and spirit in what seems to be a world gone mad. As David Icke says about Maria, Maria's the real deal, extremely intuitive but with her feet firmly on the ground. Out there, but down here, no bullshit. Whatever you need in this part of your journey is what Maria will help you with. She'll give you the tools you need to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See private consultations with Maria on the site at meria.net and pick the one that resonates with you. You are not alone. The professor is in at meria.net. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Conversations with myself and David Icke. I'm sure you've gotten a lot out of the first part of the show. David, in Phantom Self, and you talk about the energetic you versus the holographic you. Now, I'm assuming the holographic you is your Phantom Self.
Well, yes, in a way, although that's a part of the energetic you as well. I'll give you an example of what I mean. The holographic self, which is the self that we perceive and we call the physical self, is not actually physical. I mean, quantum physics has shown that blatantly. It's an illusion. We are decoding information on an energetic level into the illusion of the physical. So the physical self is a decoded creation of a energetic information fields. And I'll give you a wonderful story to make the point. I read a book a long time ago called The Holographic Universe by a guy called Michael Talbot.
Right.
And he was looking at all the mainstream scientific evidence that we lived in a holographic reality, which on the physical level we do. And there's many things that come from that in terms of explaining mysteries and explaining alternative methods of healing and everything. If we've got time, I can mention those. But anyway, he said that his father, he was told a story, he said his father had a party and brought along a stage hypnotist, and he was doing party tricks on the guests, the usual thing. There's an elephant in the room and all that. And there was this one guy called Tom, and he was put into this hypnotic state as part of this entertainment. And the hypnotist said to him, "When I bring you back to a waking state, you're not going to be able to see your daughter in the room." And so when he did that, and before he brought him back, the hypnotist put his daughter, the Tom's daughter, in front of her father. So the father's looking into her belly. And he brought Tom apparently back to a waking state and said, "Can you see your daughter, Tom?" He looked around. He couldn't. The hypnotist then put his hand in the small of the daughter's back and said, I'm holding something, Tom. What am I holding? And Tom said, well, you're holding a watch. It was obvious to him, except that his daughter's standing between the watch and the father. He said, there's an inscription on the watch. Can you read it? So Tom read the inscription. It was easy to him. And, of course, everyone else in the room was laughing and also bewildered because they could see the daughter. Now, if I said that to mainstream scientists and what have you, and most other people, they'd say that was made up. That was a story. That can't. It's impossible. That's what you'd have got. That's impossible. That can't happen. But it's not impossible when you realize what reality is. It's perfectly explainable. Even in what we call the physical body level, we are an energetic field. Or fields, and we only experience the physical world as we perceive it, the holographic world, when we decode that information into holographic reality, just as a computer decodes information in the tower or on the data stick or from the internet onto the screen. When you look at the internet with graphics and colors and images and moving pictures, etc., the internet is not going around the world on Wi-Fi and broadband in that state. It's going around as pure information. It's when the computer decodes it that the internet that we perceive on the screen is put on the screen. Everywhere else, it's just pure information, communication of information. And so that's the same with us. So if you don't decode it, then you cannot see it and experience it in the holographic realm because you haven't decoded it through to that. So what the hypnotist had done with Tom is, with the hypnotic suggestion, he's put a firewall in his mind, so it would not decode his daughter's energetic fields. Mm-hmm. So everyone else in the room who not had that firewall put in through hypnotic suggestion could see the daughter because they didn't have the block, but he had the block. And this is what's happening all the time. And if you then think that those deep in the shadows that are behind this global manipulation know how all that works and know that if they can download to you a perception of reality, then you will decode that reality basically into a holographic experience. What we believe we perceive and what we perceive we experience, the idea is to start that sequence by downloading to people what to believe. And this is why, the book before the present one is called Perception Deception, because that's what the conspiracy is. And the spirituality or awakening is about taking control back of our sense of perception from the system download that we've been subjected to all our lives. And when you do that, of course, don't expect pats on the back and rounds of applause. Because when you expand your awareness and reevaluate your sense of self and express a different view of the world from that perspective, those still in phantom self mode, still buying the program, will call you mad, they'll call you dangerous, they'll call you all of these things. And you just have to deal with that. It's what goes with the gift of waking up.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Well, remind you that a prophet is never appreciated in its own time. This morning I took your poster where you're smiling and laughing and saying something to the effect of humor, laughter, and joy is the reason we're here. And immediately I saw somebody post a stupid reaction to it. So even when you're talking about humor, laughter, and joy, the old live, love, and laugh, it offends people. So I wonder how trapped are these people?
And talking of offending people, this whole political correctness thing that's going on is all about getting the target population to silence each other. so that things can't be exposed that need exposing because people are terrified of saying the wrong thing because they'll be called this, that, or the other under political correctness. And that's another thing that happens when you start to awaken to a more expanded sense of self, and that's that what people say about you makes no difference anymore, because when you've got phantom self label consciousness hurling abuse at you, well, you're not in that perception of being a phantom self label consciousness. Thus, what they throw at you just it doesn't affect you. You just get on with it because you realize why they're doing it. And what comes is that that biblical line, forgive them for they know not what they do. It allows you to take the nonsense and the abuse and stuff, and it just sails past you because you're not in the, this is the point, you're not in the frequency range of the abuse. So if you're not in the frequency range of it, it cannot connect with you and do you any damage, whether it's mental, emotional, whatever. The internet and social media has really been an eye-opener in exposing the true scale of the psychological flaws, psychological distortions that the human race is subjected to, because you know the abuse for abuse's sake that goes through social media, the pleasure from hurting other people to the point where some people have committed suicide because of the abuse, it just shows the level of psychopathic behavior that is in the human race. Because you know, because people can do it behind anonymous login names and such like, they just let their inner psychopath free. And you see it all the time. And one of the major traits of a psychopath is lack of empathy, not being able to put the person you're making hurt. You're not maybe able to put yourself in the feelings that that person is receiving from you and suffering and experiencing as a result of you. And without that empathy, then, of course, there's no limit. There's no fail-safe mechanism of, oh, I mustn't do that because this will do that to that person. A psychopath doesn't care. It's really been an eye-opener to see how much how many psychopaths there are in the world. And you know, people think psychopaths are like serial killers. Well, the more extreme of them are. But if you look at something, you go on the internet and look at something called the hair test, H-A-R-E, the hair test of psychopaths, the traits of psychopaths, and you'll be staggered to realize how many people you've met and how many people you know who tick most of the boxes of that hair test for psychopaths. And of course, the most psychopathic of all are the bloodline networks and secret society networks that are actually, you know, dictating the direction of the world and all that goes on in it.
Absolutely. You know, when I look at some of what's posted on social media, I'm like, wow, what kind of world is this? So it's a good barometer. But, you know, I always remind people that the word lie is right dab smack in the middle of the word belief.
Yeah.
And, absolutely. You know, a belief is just like a wish or a hope or blowing a feather down the street. A belief doesn't mean anything unless you've got reason to back it up. And most people don't. But they will fight to the death to protect their belief system, which is crazy.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. That's an interesting point as well. Like we mentioned the point earlier with evil being the reverse of the word live, is words are frequencies. They're obvious frequencies. I mean, my voice now is creating my words from my vocal cords that are creating certain frequencies which come out in sound as what we call words. So therefore, because it's all about frequency, and letters like numbers are expressions of frequency, you are going to get these apparent coincidences, where, the very good one that you just mentioned, that within belief is lie, and, you know, evil is the reverse of belief. You're going to get these things because the word itself, the letters themselves and the order they're in, are manifestations of frequencies. So they will tell you things, often purely by the way they're spelt and or the way they're spoken, phonetics.
Absolutely. I'm sure everybody's heard, you know, dog spelled backwards is God. And I can tell you all the dogs I've ever had were better than most humans I knew. So I wouldn't doubt it.
That's another interesting point because, you know, dogs don't go through the programming humans go through.
Right.
You know, animals don't go through the programming that humans go through. You know, animals are very, very sensitive to energetic changes because they're not programmed so much into five sense reality that they lose the energetic sensitivity that should be part of our makeup. The more you pull someone into density, five sense density, in terms of their focus of attention, the more you're pulling them out of energetic sensitivity. So you'll get animals that know that bad weather's coming, and humans who know when bad weather's coming, when it's, you know, dark clouds are over the horizon. They can feel earthquakes coming, many animals, because they're feeling that energetic frequency change that is happening as the process, the energetic frequency process is unfolding, that we're manifesting what we call an earthquake and weather and all that stuff. And when you do deprogram and start to re-self-identify, you do become more and more intuitive, you become more and more energetically sensitive, and you start to get these senses back.
Right, and I think you also become happier and at way more peace because you have the understanding that none of this is real and that we don't need to be attached to it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's this attachment to the physical, what we call the physical, and self-identification with it, that is the whole foundation of human control. And, you know, I see, you know, people in the alternative media that have talked about the way to deal with this is to fight the enemy and stockpile weapons and you know, go into defense mode and all that stuff. It's not. It's to withdraw the cause of the problem. The cause of the problem is being pulled into a fake sense of self, a fake sense of the world, taking an illusion to be real. And when we reverse that problem, the power this control system has over us must, by definition, dissolve, because it has a frequency range too. And it's a very low frequency band, which they have to pull us into to make that energetic frequency connection to actually dictate our lives. Once we withdraw from that frequency band, then their influence over us disappears.
Absolutely.
Their control over us disappears. This is the answer. And you know, people think, oh, being spiritual, no mate, you know, we've got to get some guns. No, what's that doing? That's just mirroring what you say you're opposing. Oh, no, you've got to be a man, you've got to get a gun and attack them and fight them. And no, that's the cause of the problem. You're just adding to it. The solution to the problem is removing the cause of the problem, which is the perception deception, which leads to the frequency attachment to the control system.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, David, thank you so much for all of this today. And I'm so excited about your tour starting. So let's stay in touch and maybe I can get you back on in between the tour, even for a short time.
Sure,
see how it's going.
I'm sure I'll pick up a lot of things on the way.
Okay.
But the events are from 10 o'clock in the morning to 10 at night, and
wow,
in four sections. And I I connect so many dots, it's ridiculous, but they all fit and they form a very coherent picture that makes the world look very different.
Great. Thanks so much, David. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Maria. Bye.
Bye. DavidIke.com. Check out his work. Check out his books. If you want to step out of the matrix, now's the time, folks. Anyway, thanks for listening and supporting the show. If you're not a subscriber to all my shows, where I have 500 at least hours on site, get over to maria.net and check it out. This is real independent media. You are the only producers of my show. So I appreciate each and every one of you.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.